going to do a recording here, and we're going to see how it works. It looks pretty good, but of course, I just barely started the car, and, you know, well, we'll see how it goes. Let me make sure I put it in here right. I think it's like this. Okay. Oh. It goes rattle, rattle, rattle. Every Sunday night when I leave home, it's pretty emotional. It doesn't help that we usually watch an episode or two of Relative Race, which is a TV show on BYU TV, and it's an emotional show. You really get, at least I do, I really get caught up in it for people finding family, and oftentimes it ends up being people that were, you know, people that have been adopted or in foster care or something like that, and they really don't know about family at all. So it's really kind of interesting, because often it'll be like, this is your biological mother, this is your biological father, and seeing what happened, and sometimes the stories of them being given up are pretty rough, because, you know, sometimes they feel bad that they gave them up. Some of them are really happy they get to get back in touch now, once they've all been raised, to see how they've turned out, and that's pretty amazing. So, yeah, lots of emotions, and of course, I don't know how good the sound's gonna be. Mitsubishi Mirage cars are known to be very noisy, so I don't know if you're going to be able to hear this very well. I talk pretty loud to begin with, so we'll just kind of have to see how it goes. After I get up to speed here, I can probably, it'll downshift a little, and it won't be so noisy. Although you'll hear all the road noise and all the wind. This isn't a particularly amazingly sealed car. I bought it strictly for the gas mileage. There was a few more things I wanted, but almost strictly for the gas mileage. So that's why it's called the Dot 2. The first car called the Dot, the big red Dot, it was a Geo Metro. I don't even know what year Geo Metro it was. I don't know. Had it for quite a while. It had 100,000 miles on when I got it. I put on another 100,000 in the matter of 18 months. And And then started having some weird issues. So it was about time to get rid of it. And that's why this car is called Dot 2. It's the same color. The other one, the original big red Dot, of course, was red. And this car is red too. And it doesn't get quite the same gas mileage. There was the The big red dot I would often get above 50 miles per gallon, 51, 52, 53, and I think this thing does good to do it in the 40s. But still good. I've got a lot more resources now than I did back then. And of course, the traveling is a lot further. The trip I took to get back and forth to work, and but I did take it every day, was it was a 2-hour commute there and back. And the one I have now is 4 hours. And it isn't practical at all to go back and forth every day. So I go up on a Sunday and I stay until Friday. And then I come home. And I already talked about, maybe, about the crash site, which is the little acre that I own, about a half an hour outside of Socorro, going toward Albuquerque. And of course the blister on it, which is a plastic covered geodesic dome that just kind of serves me as a tent. And anyway, so there's about that that's happening. Anyway, it's Sunday night. I'm leaving for another exciting week of work. I'm, I don't know exactly how to... Well, I was wanting to bring up a couple of things. Lisa, of course, my wonderful wife of... Golly, we're coming up on 33 years of being married to each other. She's my home. We have lived many places, and when people ask me where home is, I say it's easy. It's wherever Lisa is. Lisa is home. And that means it's Tucumcari right now. Lisa told me again today. Well, she didn't tell me. She told my dad. That she's never moving again. She's tired of moving. She hates moving. And we have moved a few times. We just had somebody talking about in our Sunday school class at church that she'd moved 29 times so far in her life. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's not even interesting to me. Anyway, that being said, on my way back to the crash site, which is where I crash at night. I am learning. I am learning some stuff about this car. It's got a terrible radio, and although it somewhat works for my needs, I know that it's already having problems, and these kinds of radios and these Mitsubishi Mirages are terrible, and they just continually have more and more problems until they just don't work anymore. And I just bought kind of a mounting mounting equipment for it to mount a more standard radio, and I'm gunning for one that has a built-in DVD player. Although I'm always driving on U.S. highways, they really are kind of two-lane back roads. From Tucumcari to Santa Rosa, I'm on an interstate highway. So, you know, gotta be reasonably, you know, gotta keep an eye on things. Although I tend to drive about 5 or 10 miles under the speed limit, so everybody passes me, which is okay with me. It doesn't bother me. Kind of looking forward to having a DVD player. Not that I play it so much when I'm driving. I'm going to rig it so that it can play when I'm driving. I think there's a certain thing I can push. I'm ultimately getting, it's one of those Chinese radios. Although I'm getting it from Walmart, I think. That seems to be a pretty good price and have the pretty good feature set that I want. It was really tempting to try to get one that had Android on it. That had a recent version of Android so that I could install stuff. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I already have kind of a outdated phone that I use for getting the podcast, so it's not a big deal. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of extra money, which it would have cost nearly another $150 to buy a radio that was that could do that kind of stuff. Because my biggest thing is I wanted to be able to play DVDs for the long parts of the trip, so you can at least kind of listen to movies as you're going by. I tend to like more movies that have more talk to them. You know, people are big into action movies these days, action adventures, and I don't mind action adventures, but I usually am not paying enough attention to really care about the action. So if you tend to do kind of a talkie movie or one that has some really nice music and stuff like that, that's what you're paying the attention to, is you're just listening to it. So, but I also listen to a lot of podcasts. I'll probably listen to one of my favorites here coming up pretty soon after I do this recording. And I don't know how good the sound quality is going to be on this. I know people have become kind of accustomed to the ones where I'm sitting still and recording it on the Chromebook, which does a really, really excellent job. And the ones on the road just aren't so wonderful. And this one's being recorded on an old Android phone. And, I really don't know if the sound quality is going to be all that good. But hopefully you can at least pick out what I'm saying. And I was pondering the whole thing. I make good money with what I do for work, for money. My poor great uncle that served as my grandfather for my whole life, he would always get so upset when he would say that, you know, I wasn't pouring the best of myself into my work. Now, I'm not saying that I don't work and I don't try to do a good job. I think I do, and people are often very happy with the work I've done. Regardless, I was thinking today about my writing, and there's funny things about writing, especially in the new reality, new economy, things like that. Writing really isn't what it once was. Not very many people read anymore. The vast majority of people, now that there's things like YouTube and lots of audio-visual stuff, reading has really gone down. And I know people go, oh, well, this is terrible because, you know, all the best things are written. They aren't rendered to video or to audio, but you know what? That's really less and less true now. Not everything gets rendered to video, for sure. But almost everything that has been written as a book, that's probably true of fiction more than anything else, but I think it's growing true of nonfiction, has been rendered as an audiobook. And people can look at it that way. And there's something interesting about audiobooks that's really compelling. And that is that you can be doing something else that doesn't really require a lot of your attention. Like for me, it would be washing the dishes, things like that, hanging up the laundry. Things that don't need you right there paying attention to it. There's certain aspects of my job that are kind of that way too. And so, it really lends itself to, you know, like I said, I do a lot of podcasts, and I don't do a lot of audiobooks, honestly, but I do some. And I'm trying to read some of the classics through audiobooks, and that way, you know, hopefully I can expand my mind a little bit. pardon me. So, I've been thinking about the writing that I've done, and I think it's all okay. But when I think about it, audiobooks are quite, regular books, print books are finding a smaller and smaller audience of those that will actually read them. And things like audiobooks and podcasts are expanding. more people can access them. They do quite well, so I've been toying some with trying to ramp up a little bit on the recordings, and then actually making recordings of my existing printed books. And when people say, well, what about ebooks? And you go, no, they are actually a subset of printed books. You know, if you think printed books aren't getting a lot of eyes and things like that, I think ebooks do even more poorly. So I think I'm going to continue with these recordings. I don't know much about advertising about them. You know, I've never really done much marketing. To be honest, even with my printed books, when I've done like short stories, people go, you know, that's really, really good. You know, I've gotten some really good feedback from people. But the problem is that they go, I wouldn't even begin to know where you would market that. And that's been one of the big problems with things like this, is just don't know how to market these things. And so to be honest, and I've thought about this a lot in the past, then I'll put it aside and I'll come back to it. It really ends up kind of being cast your bread upon the waters marketing. I just put it out there. Occasionally I'll make a mention of it and point at it in, pardon me, in, you know, Facebook and stuff like that. A lot of people use Facebook for marketing. That's not bad, but I don't really do much that way, to be honest. I've been thinking of doing some of the more federated stuff that is a little more appealing to me. I'm not a social media guy. In fact, I don't even really enjoy feedback much. You know, people going back and say, well, I thought that story kind of was sappy, and I don't like sappy stories. And you go, that's fine. It's not for you. That's fine. You know. And you go, well, I think you probably could have done it better. And you go, yeah, but I've left that behind. I'm not going to retool everything that I do to try to get more audience. Since my written stuff is out there, you know, I'm not going to do... Well, I can't say that. I can't say that because one of my books, Godsend, which I actually wrote back in 1998, I just put out a 2020 edition of it that kind of... That kind of combines it a little bit better with some of the elements of the Navigieri allegory. And so now I've technically got two Navigieri books out there. I've always been working on a third one that's kind of in the middle. I don't know if I'll really get down to doing that one. Because if you're trying to put something across, see, and that's a funny thing about what fiction I have done, and I have really kind of backed off of fiction quite a bit. I'm not saying I won't do fiction again, but, you know, a lot of my writing is more essays, and it's more of a religious thing. But I might need to go ahead and make recordings of those, too. You know, audio versions of the of my essays, which really do pretty good for just a short little snippet. Anyway, so I'm not I'm thinking of going in that direction, knowing that I can't say print is dying, but it's a smaller and smaller if you're wanting to reach people with messages, which I think is primarily what I try to do, even in fiction, my fiction tends to be message oriented. And that's almost why it's like, you know, I kind of get tired of trying to find kind of a fictionalized setting in which to put the messages. I'd rather just put the messages out there. Regardless. Oh, it's warm in here. I need to turn on, I got my big coat going. Oops, I don't want to go that way. Let's do it this way, get myself a little air. Oh, yeah, that's better. Oh. This is a pretty good vehicle that way. It seems to have a good air conditioner. Not that I tend to use air conditioning, which I don't. I tend not to use air conditioning at all if I can. This car doesn't drive very well with the windows down. So it won't go that way. So I'm probably going to end up doing more audio stuff. And the one really great thing about writing is it keeps me from rambling too much. And so hopefully some stuff in the future will not ramble so hard. Because I think I will still write out the essays. It's really good for organizing my thoughts and stuff like that. And then I will read them, predominantly read them, for recordings, for audio recordings, and I'll do that. And I'm not interested in doing video. I'm not really into talking head stuff. I know it's kind of nice for YouTube. You know, people will simply just do a talking head thing just because you might as well for YouTube. But I don't find myself very interested in that. I'm much more of an audio guy. So we're gonna do it that way. And that's probably all I really have for this particular recording. Hopefully there will be more recordings in the future that have that are more organized. It'll be me somewhat reading, although I don't find myself to be a particularly good reader. Hopefully I'll do all right. At least enough so that I can have notes upon which to follow. And I never even announced that this is the Princess and or the Priest recording. I haven't made a Princess recording for a while. Lisa's, I don't know. Lisa and I have been watching a lot of television, frankly. Which is funny because I don't really want to watch the news these days. Donald Trump was kept the news cycle so energized with their complete hatred for him, although that wasn't pleasant to really watch either. It was riveting, that's for sure. And now it's like the news broadcasters don't want to cover what's going on. The 24-hour news cycle really kind of took a big hit without having anything, without just trashing Donald Trump all the time. Now it's Joe Biden. They don't want to say anything bad about him. He's not, you know, the people who are used to having a lot of material to use in news, I guess, are getting pretty depressed because it's like there's nothing much to talk about. Joe Biden is a dirty dish rag of a person. But the problem is they really don't want Joe Biden to be dirty. So they tend not to talk about any of it. And it makes for bad news because, you know, all these places had 100 commentators that were constantly, you know, needling what Donald Trump said or what Donald Trump did or the thing or how destructive he was to America. And now that that's over with, it's like they have nothing to talk about. And to be honest, I'm kind of burned out on the whole thing, you know. The biggest thing is, what can I do about what goes on in Washington? Nothing. I think if I even went to the great length of becoming, say, a congressman, for instance, ultimately, I don't see that really being very useful either. I don't really think, number one, I don't think I would ever get elected because I'm a bit of a radical, and I'm not the right kind of radical these days. You know, all successful radicals are now leftists, and other kinds of radicals, of which I am a liberty radical. You know, I believe in freeing humanity from governmental constraint as much as humanly possible. I find myself waffling quite a bit about borders, about the U.S. border. Donald Trump's, one of his big things that he got just pilloried over was trying to build a better wall between the United States and Mexico. And I have to say, you know, people often sometimes think I'm a little conservative, and I'm not. I tend to be for freer immigration. I'm totally willing to let that be just freer, not totally free. I'm not for open borders particularly, because I know some countries will actually help their poorest people come to the United States. The United States insists on letting every single person in that walks across the border, which I think has become kind of the attitude right now, is to pretty much just open up the border, and then every 5 or 6 years from now, give the people that are here a pathway to citizenship. And everybody knows why the Democrats do that. The Democrats doing it is because they figure they can get votes from it. And they're really big about, hey, if you're here, you can vote. And other people are like, whoa, you need to be a citizen. You can't just come to the United States and become a voter. Well, of course. Oh, that's exactly what the Democrats want to do. That's how they win, is through continuing to do those things. And of course, the more wins they get, the more matched they get. It's rather sad. I'm not saying that the Republicans are wonderful. They're just on the other side of that. Now, they haven't been too weird about immigration either, because, you know, Republicans are, can I be honest, are the party of the wealthy and of business, predominantly. They fashion themselves that way. And a lot of rich people and a lot of businesses really like undocumented illegal immigrants, you know, because they're cheap labor. And a business, especially the kind of businesses that don't need skilled labor particularly, just need somebody who can work, don't even care if you can speak the language, it doesn't matter. As long as you can teach them a basic skill, how to wrap up a head of lettuce, that's really kind of what they're looking for. And so yeah, there's been the whole immigration issue, which everybody brings up right now and says, we have a terrible crisis. And to be honest, I don't think we have a terrible crisis. Our biggest thing is now the Democrats, instead of just kind of slyly kind of being quietly supportive of illegal immigration, now they're overt. And now they're saying, well, we want the healthcare system to provide free healthcare for these immigrants coming in, you know, and they base it on humanitarian things, you know. It needs to be free for them. And you go, dude, it's not free for us. Why are you giving people who shouldn't be here at all and who don't necessarily pay taxes, because they're usually paid under the table, why are we giving them free stuff? What? What is that? And yeah, this is, it becomes more and more obvious that the Democrats are all about getting as many people here that they think will vote with a D. And that's really all they care about. They think that money can just be printed. And, you know, they're half right. Anyway, I didn't want to get into politics on this one. Just sad. See, if I don't stay on a topic, if it's not, at least the notes aren't written down. I go flying off into a variety of things. So, yeah, we're going to continue the recordings. We might label them differently. They might be in other places. I'm very happy with Internet Archive as my audio archivist. And so we'll continue to do that. Nobody else is going to audio record the things that I've written, so I am going to do that myself. You know, so there's some of the things that I can do on evenings when I'm not busy doing other things. And yeah, I am going to stop here because I don't want to fly off into a fit of politics particularly again, for stuff you already know, and et except to say, well, he thinks the way I do. And you go, well, yeah. And you go, you know how Lisa's my home? I also vote with Lisa. Lisa's very conservative, or she's more conservative than I am. And she's very right-leaning, where I think I tend to go centrist. And I tend to classify myself as, if anything, as a classical liberal in the vein of Thomas Jefferson. And I really enjoy a lot libertarians, although I think they might take it a little too far for how we could survive under anarchy and statelessness. I'm not really interested in going to that level. I like a little bit more stability in my world. Anyway, so hopefully I'll get off of the whole thing that way. And the easiest way to do it is to turn off the recording and do something else. So this is the Princess and or the Priest audio recording. I don't know how good the recording's going to be. We'll just have to take a look at it. I'll go ahead and publish it. I publish nearly everything. There's very few things I don't publish, even when I go, guy, I don't want anybody to hear that being said. I'm not happy with that recording. I'm not going to do that. Anyway, this is the Princess and or the Priest recording. For right now, there will be more coming and hopefully a little more coherent. And I'm grateful for any of you that listen. This was really kind of originally put up just for family to listen to us. And it's probably going to morph. All my stuff always morphs over time to take care of other things. Anyway, I'm grateful to be able to do these things, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.